From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Sealed with the Spirit. The text is Ephesians 1, the second part of verse 13, In whom, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In the first place, this seal places the Spirit's distinctive mark on all believers in Christ. Then, it is a seal indicating divine ownership, showing that the believer belongs to Christ. Next, the seal is the witness to the believer of God's unchanging love, the solemn pledge of the love which Christ has to His people. Furthermore, the seal of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the Christian's eternal security in Christ. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in just a few minutes. First, he takes a couple of minutes to speak about the bodily resurrection of Christ, a blessed truth with which he deals in his booklet called A New Beginning.
It has been called the best attested fact in history. It is certainly the cornerstone of Bible Christianity. What is it? It is the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over the history of the church, there have been many discussions about many of the outstanding miracles of Scripture. Skeptical people have raised objections to this miracle and that miracle. Did Jesus really walk on the water? Some years ago in Northern Ireland, we had a supposedly very learned Presbyterian minister who gave a public lecture in which he informed the people that Jesus hadn't really walked on the water. He had merely paddled by the seashore, and the distraught disciples imagined he was walking on the water. Of course, he forgot to tell the people that the Apostle Peter, who grew up in that area and knew the sea as well as any man, felt that he was drowning just beside the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously also just paddling by the seashore. You have all these crazy things being said as people have discussed the various miracles of the Scripture. But you know, at the end of the day, there's one miracle that stands out above all the rest. Given this miracle, everything else comes into context and into focus. There is no use disputing about the others. If this one is true, and equally, if it were proved to be not true. Of course, it can't be, because this is the cornerstone of God's revelation to men. You see, God sent His Son into the world. Now, anybody can come and claim, I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world. I am this, I am that. Even today in America, we have lunatics running around claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ returned, claiming to be the special prophet. Anybody can claim to be anything. But proving it is something absolutely different. So, when God sent His Son into the world, He sent Him with a built-in proof. The Lord Jesus, as I said in yesterday's broadcast, said to those who opposed Him, You destroy the temple of My body, destroy it, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He claimed to be the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, and to prove it, He would do what no other man in the history of the world has ever done. He would lay down His life, and in the time that He said, He would raise it up again. So the Lord Jesus was put to death. And the third day, bodily, He rose again from the dead. There have been people, of course, who have rejected this. And yet, if you look at the evidence, the biblical evidence, the historical evidence, the literary evidence. If you were to examine, as say a court of law would examine, the witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would find that by every law of evidence, this stands established. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now what's the great significance of that? The Bible says, Romans 4 verse 25, he was delivered, that is, put to death, for or because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again, we have a gospel of grace for perishing sinners. We have a gospel of power for sinners who are captivated and defeated by sin and by Satan, and who are condemned to the outer darkness of a lost eternity. The promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is that because he lives, we shall live also. There is life in the living Christ. There's life only in the living Christ. He only is the Son of God. He only is God manifested in the flesh. He only is the sacrifice for sin. He only is the Savior of sinners. Christ rose from the dead. Make sure your trust is in him and no one else, for every other Savior will prove to be no Savior, for he has no power over death or hell. That power belongs to Christ alone.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
An assurance that comes by looking at the scriptures and saying, the Bible says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I have come to Christ, therefore he will not cast me out. That is one line of assurance, and a very important line. That's the Holy Spirit convincing a man of the truth of the promise. But there is a deeper and therefore more precious line of assurance growing out of that. One great Puritan preacher, Thomas Goodwin, said that that line of assurance that comes from saying, for instance, him that cometh I will in no wise cast out, I came, therefore he will not cast me out, he says that is discursive, or we would maybe say instructive. That's based on the instruction of the word. Very precious. But he says then there is that deeper assurance that he called intuitive, where the Spirit who wrote that word comes himself and witnesses to my heart, not only is this the very truth of God, but you personally have a vital saving interest in the truth of this gospel. The seal of the Spirit then is the assurance and the evidence of divine ownership. What Know ye not, says Paul, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own. You are not your own. Much less are you the world's. What a sad thing it is to see people who have the stamp of divine ownership upon them trying to live as if they belonged to this world. You are not your own. Thank God you're not the devil's. And you're not the world's. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I keep that in mind, and it will certainly dictate your life more scripturally and more spiritually than you could otherwise do. You belong to Jesus. The third thing that the seal of the Holy Ghost is the witness of God's unchanging love. Let's turn back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. Now, I'm not going to try and expound the verse. It certainly is a wonderful enough verse. I just want us to get the meaning of the seal in the verse. There's a controversy among the commentators in the Song of Solomon as to whether the speaker here is Christ or the church. It makes good sense either way, so we'll not get into that one. But see what it says. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Now watch it carefully. The meaning is very simple. When a warrior was traveling abroad to war, or when a businessman was traveling abroad in business, his wife or his betrothed would say, place me as a seal. Take my image as a seal on your arm, or sometimes on the shoulder, or sometimes worn over the heart. That it will always be before you. That our love may always fill your heart, and you may never break your solemn pledge of love and turn aside illicitly to anyone else. That's the simple meaning. Now, spiritually, there is a seal, and it speaks of love. Unchangeable, unquenchable love. A love that has a divine jealousy in it. A love that is stronger than death, and stronger than the grave, and burns with a fire that's more intense than the fire of any earthly burning. The Holy Spirit has sealed the believer. He has sealed the believer unto Christ, and he has sealed Christ unto the believer. And therein you have the bond of immutable, eternal love. This is shown us in another way in the prophet Isaiah and chapter 49. Very famous words of verse 16. Verse 15 will give the context. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can that happen? Yes, it's rare, but it does happen. It does happen. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Some Hebraists think that this is a reference to an ancient practice of having, with punctures in the skin or other means of making a permanent mark, to take the name of the Lord
or of the law of the Lord, and have it stamped upon the palms, so that everything a man would go to do, he would have that ever before his eyes. This is the picture that the Lord has given. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Everything I go to do, I do with you in mind. Every operation of my almighty power is done with a love for my people ever in my heart. What a statement that is. And then the devil has the downright lying audacity to come to you when you're in a little bit of trouble and say, God has forgotten you. No, no, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The impression, the mark of the seal is the witness of eternal love. And the Holy Ghost seals a believer. He tells him that God loves him, and God loves him forever. For what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That leads very naturally to the fourth meaning of the seal. It is the evidence of the eternal security of the believer. Notice the wording of our text. First of all, sealed, past tense, once and for all. When God seals something, no man and no devil can unseal it. You're sealed. Secondly, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The word unto means for. You're sealed for the day of redemption. It's not merely speaking of a passage of time sealed until. That may be taken from it. But the whole idea is when God seals you, he has before his mind the day of redemption. God secures you for the day of redemption. That is the day of the Lord's second coming, when all his people enter fully and irrevocably and eternally into the enjoyment of everything that glorified saints can enjoy. God has sealed you for heaven. Now that's the eternal security of the believer. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. There is your security. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure. Why? Because it has a seal. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows them. The foundation of God is not going to be moved. The people of God are not going to be lost. They are secure. There's a wonderful picture of this over in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. I'm not getting into the prophetic angle of this morning at all, but just the basic spiritual meaning. Revelation 7, speaking of the 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel that will yet be sealed at the tribulation period. What does it say in verse 3? Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now look at chapter 9 and verse 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
The seal is our security. Now watch it carefully. If you are sealed by the Spirit of God, the wrath of God cannot touch you. But if you are not sealed by the Spirit of God, then the wrath of God will most certainly burn upon you. The seal is our security. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to abide within us, yes. But the Holy Spirit seals us. He tells us of the unchangeable love of God for us. And He says, I have the mark of divine ownership upon you. And no power of divine wrath can ever touch you. You're safe for time and for eternity. That's the seal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.